If you pick up a Bible dictionary or a commentary and you look up Luke, who we celebrate today, typically there are two entries. There's a little something about Luke the man, some guy who lived in the first century, and then there's something about Luke the book, or the gospel according to Luke, or sometimes scholars call it Luke Acts, Luke hyphen Acts, because two parts of one work or a two-volume set. So those are the two things. There's the person who wrote these works, and then there's the works themselves. And these are important for us and interesting on a feast day like this, Feast of an Evangelist. But there's a third element, which we'll get to, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. This man is not only an author, and these works are not simply his literary works, but this is the inspired Word of God. But let's start with Luke. He's an interesting character himself. He's mentioned three times in the New Testament in letters of Paul. He doesn't mention himself. There's no mention of Luke in his own writings. But Paul mentions him several times, and today's first reading is one of them. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he says that Luke is the only one who's still with me. In another place, he calls Luke the beloved physician. That's how we know Luke is a doctor. He's the beloved physician. In some traditions, Luke actually did care for Paul when he was beaten by his captors. So anyway, Luke's a physician, and he's certainly a companion of St. Paul. And he's certainly the author of these two works, the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. After that, though, we start to run out of information about Luke the man. Certainly he's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He's the only man who wrote a work in the New Testament who's not a Jew. He was an educated man. He writes in very high-quality Greek. And he was a missionary, an evangelist. Some traditions say he's probably from Antioch. I don't know where that comes from, but the first Gentile church arose in Antioch, in Syrian Antioch. Then there are some people who think he was from Western Turkey, because in the Acts of the Apostles, there are some passages where he speaks in the first person plural, where he says, "We did this." In the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, he's talking about what they did. Paul did this, Saul did this, Barnabas did this, the Christians went there. And then at some point, all of a sudden, he says, "We did this." And the scholars say, well, that must be where Luke actually joined them. And that's that first "we" passage in the Acts of the Apostles is, I think, when Paul and his companions are in Troas, which is Western Turkey, kind of the very far, far western edge of Asia. And Paul has this vision of a Macedonian. Is it a dream or a vision? Who says, come and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And then says in the text, well, we decided to go over to Macedonia, which is in Europe, across from Asia into Europe. Anyway, that we don't know much more about Luke than that. There's a tradition that he was martyred. The tradition that he lived into old age before he was martyred. Okay, that's about as much as we can say about Luke the person. But when we get to Luke the gospel, boy, we're getting into a great treasure. What a great gift we have in the Gospel of Luke, the longest of the Gospels. The Gospels are something to really treasure. This is a good day to pick up a Bible, by the way. I know Anuwim people, they never pick up the Bible because they're always looking at the Anuwim way. But this is a good day to pick up a Bible. If you look at the four Gospels, you know that Mark, the shortest of the Gospels, he's in a hurry. He launches right into the story. He talks about John the Baptist. He doesn't have any prologue other than just to say, this is the Gospel. This is the Gospel, and this is where it starts. Then Matthew, he has the genealogy, so he wants to plant the story of Jesus, the revelation of the Gospel in the history of the chosen people. This man Jesus comes from a long line of the of, of Jewish ancestors, the genealogy. And you know, in John's Gospel, the beginning of John's Gospel, the famous prologue, John isn't just concerned about Jewish history, he wants to connect heaven and earth. He wants to connect eternity and time. So he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh, so the eternal Word became flesh. That's this man Jesus who we're going to talk about in this Gospel. So John's Gospel is so different from the others. But then there's Luke. Luke has a prologue. I'm a little surprised that in the liturgy we don't read the prologue. Instead, we read this passage from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sends out the 72 disciples. Luke wasn't one of the 72 disciples. He wasn't even in the picture yet. But it is a passage about the spreading of the gospel. But let's go to this prologue. Luke says this: since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, so many people have told this story, many people have compiled a narrative, maybe he's thinking about Mark and Matthew, we don't know. Just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them on to us. So he's saying there are people who are eyewitnesses, as if to say, I'm not one of them. I'm not an eyewitness. I wasn't one of the 12. Those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning, that's not Luke, but just like these people, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. It's a good summary. It's a kind of a formal literary beginning of a work according to the style of the time. This is what this work is about. This is who I am. He doesn't mention his name, but he says, I'm a compiler. I'm an editor. I'm someone who puts the story in an orderly way so that you can see how reliable it is, how certain this account is. And then he launches into the what we call the infancy narrative, the most developed of the sections of the Bible that talk about Jesus' birth and what happens before his birth. So the Annunciation to Zechariah, the Annunciation to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then the Visitation, and then the birth of John the Baptist, and then the birth of Jesus. All those are all in Luke. And without Luke, we wouldn't have any of those stories. We wouldn't have the story of the Annunciation. We wouldn't have the Magnificat. We wouldn't have, the prayers of the Rosary. A lot of the Hail Mary basically comes from St. Luke. In fact, there's a tradition that Luke got his infancy narrative from Mary herself. Because where else would he get all this? Who told him these stories? Mary. Either Mary told him, or Mary told someone, and that someone told him. But and Luke says, I compiled this account from the eyewitnesses. Mary is certainly an eyewitness. Anyway, so that's the treasure of the Gospels. Whenever you study a literary work, you look at the author and you look at what he wrote, or he or she wrote. So that's standard. If you pick up any book and look on the back of the book, it will have, here's the author, here's a little picture of the author, and this is where he's from, and this is what he does. And then you might have a little description of what's inside the book. Great. And you could do that with Luke's writings if you want. But as I said, there's this third element besides the human being who is the author and the writings that we can pick up and look at in a book. There's this divine element. And this is what makes the Bible different from any other literary work. It's both the Word of man and the Word of God. It's the Word of God in the words of man. So Luke is an author. He's a careful author, an editor, a compiler. But he's also an inspired instrument of God. Through Luke, God speaks. And that's why we treasure the Word. If it was just Luke, if he was on the same level as whatever, Shakespeare and Jose Rizal and other famous writers, we wouldn't be carrying around his book and kissing it. But no, we're talking about the Word of God. The Word which is living and effective, the Word which is life-giving, the Word which is light in the darkness, the Word which is a guide for life, the Word which speaks to us today, the Word in which God himself speaks to us today. That's why we ponder the Word. So on the Feast of an Evangelist like this, it's important for us to remember why we ponder the Word. We don't ponder it because we think Luke is a great guy or he's a good writer. We ponder it because God is speaking to us through these writings. Okay, let me just take one thought from the writings of Luke. The selection that we have here is from Luke chapter 10, and it's the description of Jesus sending out the 72. Why does Jesus send out 72? Well, why does he send out anybody? Because he wants to establish the kingdom. He wants people to know the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why he sends out these 72. That's why he sends out Luke together with Paul and the early missionaries. And that's why he sends us out too. He sends us out so that people know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Those who are sent are laborers for the harvest. Those who are sent are lambs among wolves. Those who are sent are poor and dependent. They don't carry anything. And they have authority to proclaim the Word of God. So this applies not only to these 72 or to anybody from 2,000 years ago, but to every baptized Christian. Everybody who receives the Word becomes an agent of the Word. It doesn't mean you have to write down a gospel on parchment and papyrus scrolls. It doesn't mean you have to go anywhere in particular, but you do have to be, we all have to be an agent of God's Word wherever we go, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our workplaces. That's how God spreads his Word. That's how God spreads his kingdom, through people like us. It's humbling, isn't it? I mean, we think of Luke, he's a saint, he's an extraordinary man, he has all these great gifts. Yeah, but he's also just an ordinary guy. He's just somebody who God chose and gave a gift, and he willingly shared the gift. But we're just somebody too. We're just ordinary people, and God has given us a gift. So let us be willing to share it in whatever way we can to whomever God may send us today and in our whole pilgrimage through this world.